We'd invite you to turn with us to the book of John, Gospel of John, chapter 5. I want to thank the church, first of all, for the very nice accommodations, the motel, wonderful breakfast this morning prepared by the ladies of the church. It was good. I'm thankful for all the preaching of God's Word this morning from men of God who love the Lord, and for the singing, it's been great. And I understand that I'm supposed to preach till dinner time. That's what I think is on the program. And I'm just thankful that as I look over the congregation, that I'm preaching to people that would rather hear the Word of God preached than they would to eat dinner when it's ready. That is right, isn't it, brother? We'll try not to go too much beyond our time, if any. It is a special blessing to me to be here today, to be able to fellowship the Lord's people, to feed on the Word of God. John chapter 5, verse 31. Jesus said, "If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say that you might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which your Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me. And the Father himself, which has sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you. For whom he has sent, him ye believe not. Search of scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come unto me, that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men." Let's pray. Father, as we approach you, we just thank you for all the preaching of thy word this morning, for the declaring of the precious truth of thy holy word. We rejoice, Father, in thy truth. We rejoice in the wonderful salvation of our Lord. We just pray that you'd be in the midst. Continue to be with us, Father. We ask that you'd lead us by thy Holy Spirit. We pray, Father, that thy word would be a blessing to thy people, that it would work effectually today in the hearts of those who do not know you as Lord and Savior, that you might work effectually in them to bring them to repentance and faith in the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that it would work effectually in the hearts of thy people to help us, Father, to draw closer unto thee, to be more faithful in the work and service that you have given for us to do. We just ask that you would exalt our Lord Jesus Christ in the midst of the congregation today. Guide us now, we pray. Forgive us of our sins and our shortcomings before you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask it. Amen. There's a lot said about endorsements today. We live in a day, politically, of endorsements. If a person is running for office and does not get endorsements, he's not going to go very far. And yet I'm not a great believer in endorsements. We saw almost 4 years ago a man who rose up, received many endorsements from prominent political leaders, and you see where those endorsements have gotten us today. Certainly, America is worse off today than it was 4 years ago. I am not here today to politic. That's not my reason for being here, but I got to thinking about those endorsements, and I began thinking about when the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world, and there was political leaders back there at that time who would love to have endorsed the Lord Jesus Christ had he have bent to their teachings. But he would not, and of course they did not endorse him. I want to just mention a couple different ones here this morning before I really get into my message. If you go back to John chapter 2, we're just going to read a couple verses for the sake of time. He says in verse 18, "Then answered the Jews and said unto him, What sign shewest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things?" And then in verse 25 it says, "And needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man." The credentials of our Savior did not rest upon man's testimony. It did not rest upon man's witness, and especially not the self-righteous people of that day, the Pharisees and leaders who stood in self-righteousness and not in the righteousness of God. So we know that they did not endorse our Savior. Our Savior did not need their endorsements. But I want to think now of a righteous man. I want to think of a man by the name of John the Baptist. John was a great man. Jesus Christ himself testified of that. He said in Matthew 11 and verse 11, "Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist, notwithstanding he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." Now there are some things you cannot argue with in this passage of Scripture. One of them is that Jesus says, "among them that are born of women." And I take that to be all women of all time. In other words, from the time God made man and set him upon the earth, I don't believe there was ever a man born of a woman from that time down to this time who was greater than John the Baptist. But Jesus went ahead and said this, "Notwithstanding he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he." And I'm not going to go into this morning, but I believe Jesus Christ was talking about himself. There was only one that was ever born of women who was greater than John the Baptist, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So Jesus commended John. He spoke highly of John. I remember hearing a man preach one time two messages. One of them was John's estimation of Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ's estimation of John the Baptist. Jesus commended and spoke highly of John. John was spoken of as that none had risen that was greater than John the Baptist who were born of women. I believe that includes men like Moses. I believe it includes men like Elijah. That's what I believe this morning. And even though John even bore witness of the Lord Jesus Christ, he's the one that introduced him, as it were, when he said in John 1:29, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." He introduced the Lord Jesus Christ. What a great honor that was to be able to introduce him to the multitude that day. Friends, what a great honor it is for us as preachers of the gospel to introduce the Lord Jesus Christ to lost sinners today. Instead of being backward about it, we ought to count it an honor to speak of the Lord Jesus Christ. John even was highly esteemed of men. The Bible says in Matthew 21:26, said all hold John as a prophet. Oh, men, they highly... That's the reason when Jesus asked him a question, he said, well, John's authority, where'd it come from? Heaven or men? They wouldn't answer him. You know why? Because if they said from heaven, then he'll say, why did you not then hear him? And if we say of men, they feared the multitudes because all held John as a prophet, you see. So John was even held in high esteem of men. Even dignitaries desired to see John the Baptist. Herod wanted to meet him and see him. With all of this, Jesus said in verse 34 of our scripture reading, he said, but I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say that ye might be saved. What Jesus is saying here, not only does he not need the endorsement of the self-righteous, he did not need the endorsement of a man like John the Baptist. John testified of him, but it was not John's witness that gave Jesus Christ his credentials. They didn't come from man. That's what he's saying here. His credentials didn't come from man. You know, there has never been a living man upon the earth that could say that except Jesus Christ. He's the only one. He's the only one. You remember back in the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He didn't need man to approve of him being God or to endorse him. He didn't explain God. God is. That's all we need to know. And he is not, he does not exist because of our approval. He does not. He exists because, as the brother said, he is self-existent and not dependent upon any, you see. Well, you remember what John 1:1 said? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Jesus Christ did not need the approval of men. He did not need man's witness in order to establish his credentials. He did not. 1 John 5:9 says, if we receive the witness of men, keep in mind, the witness of God is greater. What Jesus Christ had was not the witness of men. He had the witness of God. I want to speak to you just a little bit about three things. And I've already skipped some. I'll probably skip some more. But I want you to notice three things. In verse 36, I'm not putting down John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a great man of God. I can say a lot more than that. John the Baptist was a great man of God. Jesus himself testified of the greatness of John. But the point of it here is that Jesus Christ needed not either the witness of the self-righteous or the witness of the righteous to establish his credentials. He did not. Three things he says here in verse 36. He says, I have greater witness than that of John. Greater than that of John. Number one, for the works which your Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me. Number two, and the Father himself, which has sent me, hath borne witness of me. Number three, he said, search your scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Jesus said, now that I've established this, I'm going to tell you what my credentials are. And man has nothing to do with it. It wasn't man's approval. It wasn't man's endorsement. It wasn't man's witness. First of all, he says, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me, that the Father has sent me. John 5 and 19, he says, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son. John 6 and 38, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. The will of him that sent me. He said, the works that I do bear witness. They bear witness. How is it that the works that the Lord Jesus Christ done bore witness of him that the Father had sent him? Not the witness of men, but the witness, the works that he done bore witness of him. Simply because all that Jesus Christ said, all that Jesus Christ done was in agreement with the Old Testament scripture that they had. Everything he done and said was compatible with Old Testament truth. Jesus Christ at no time in his life violated in any way the Word of God which they had. He did not. And the very works that he done, because they were in agreement with the Word of God, bore witness that God had sent him. How many men do you suppose would have been able to do that? What is the odds? I'm not a gambler, but what is the odds today that a man as good as Moses was could have come and have completely, altogether, been in total agreement with in everything he done and said with the Old Testament scripture? Not possible. Not possible. The very fact that Jesus Christ completely, altogether, totally was in agreement with the Old Testament and fulfilled Old Testament truths and fulfilled all the types and shadows of the Old Testament undeniably declared that he was God. Because only God could do that. Nobody else could do that. So he said, the works which I do bear witness of me. You know, man hated him because his works did not violate Old Testament truth. You know why the Pharisees sought to kill him? Because he did not violate truth, but rather confirmed it. They hated him because he revealed that their works were not in agreement with the Old Testament truth, but were rather doctrines of men. Do you know why men hate us today? Because our very preaching the truth declares that they are not standing for the truth of God's Word. That's the reason, friends, sometimes the worst kind of hatred that there can be is doctrinal hatred. They hated him because what they taught and what they done were not in agreement with the Old Testament scripture. Back here in the book of Matthew, if you would just a minute, chapter 15. Notice what it says in verse 8. Well, verse 7. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Do you know that is a description of the multitude of so-called Christian worship today? That's a description of it. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Teaching for doctrines. And that's what people are doing today. That's the reason some of you men in here, pastors, preachers who stand for the Word of God, there are people that do hate you because you do preach the truth. Now, if you want to not be hated, then you got to join the crowd and let them endorse you. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. You know, they accused him. I just want to mention this one thing, but I got to move on. When he healed a withered hand on the Sabbath day, they thought he ought to be stoned. They accused him of doing evil. Where do you find in the Old Testament scripture that it is evil to do good on the Sabbath day? There is no place in there. You see, this was not the Lord's truth. This was their doctrine. And they hated him because he revealed it. These very works declared him to be from God, to be the Son of God. No one else could do this. Secondly, the testimony of the Father. He says here in verse 37, and the Father himself has sent Father himself which has sent me hath borne witness of me. Well, what witness was this? Could it be the Old Testament scriptures themselves? Could it be the miracles that the Lord Jesus Christ done? I want to say this before I go any farther, that I believe in the Old Testament scripture, God dealt with man, with Israel, through the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe it was Jesus Christ that appeared in the form of a man to Abraham while they were on their way to Sodom. I believe it was the Lord Jesus Christ in the burning bush. Jesus said in John chapter 8, he told them before Abraham was, I am. I believe Jesus Christ is the one all the way down through the Old Testament scripture that dealt with his people. What does he mean here? He says, notice why he says it. He says, and the Father himself, which has seen, sent me, hath borne witness of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. I'll just make it simple and a little bit shorter. I believe what Jesus is saying here, that the Father audibly witnessed of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe what he's saying here is that after Jesus was baptized, come up out of the water, the Spirit of God descended like a dove and lighted upon him. And the Bible says a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. The Father himself, you see. He done the same thing on the Mount of Transfiguration.
I believe you could even go a little farther to the resurrection, because the Bible says in Romans 1 and 4 that he was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Who declared him to be the Son of God? The Father did. The Father did. So he had the works. He had the testimony of the Father himself. Thirdly, he had the testimony of the Scriptures. He says, search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. Now notice what it says. He didn't say, search the Scriptures, for in them ye have eternal life. He said, in them ye think ye have eternal life. And there they would testify of me. The Pharisees, among others, thought that eternal life was in the keeping of the Scriptures. In other words, they thought that eternal life was in the Scriptures themselves. We've got a lot of Pharisees today. They believe that eternal life is in the keeping of the Scriptures. They see all kinds of ways to be saved. But I want to tell you something. The keeping of the Scriptures is not for those who would justify themselves, but rather it's for those who have already been justified. When we've been saved by the grace of God, we should desire to keep and obey the Scriptures. That's the reason when someone is saved by the grace of God and the Holy Spirit guides them, they should find a good, sound, New Testament Baptist church to submit themselves to for baptism. Why should they do that? Because they've been justified and they want to keep the Scriptures. They want to be obedient to the Word of God. Many people today are missing the salvation of God. He said, and they are they which testify of me. What the Scriptures do is to point us to Jesus Christ. From Genesis to Revelations. There's a crimson thread that ties it all together, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me say this. I'll give you two or three scriptures and I'm going to quit. Jesus Christ is not a help to salvation. We have got people today who teach that you have to believe on Jesus Christ, but you have to be baptized to be saved. What they're saying is that Jesus Christ is a help in salvation. Friends, what I want you to understand is that Jesus Christ is our salvation. Only in Jesus Christ do you find salvation. Only in Jesus Christ can you be justified. Only in Christ Jesus are you sanctified. Only in Christ Jesus will we have a refuge. Only in Christ Jesus. The psalmist said this in Psalms 27 and 1. He said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? 62 and 1 of Psalms. He only is my rock and my salvation. That's pretty clear, isn't it? He only. Proverbs 38:22. He said, make haste to help me, O Lord, my salvation. Only in Jesus Christ is salvation. I want to tell you what the credentials of Jesus Christ is. Not the witness of men. Naturally, we have a responsibility to preach Christ. But it's not. His credentials are not based upon the witness of men. His credentials come directly from heaven. The works which I do. Where did Jesus come from? He come down from heaven. So the works that he does has to be from heaven. He said, the works that my Father hath given me from heaven, those works I do. So those works, that witness is from heaven. The Father, a voice from heaven, saying, this is my beloved Son. And then thirdly, the Scriptures. The Scriptures. Now, a lot of people will tell you today that, that doesn't make any difference, but I want you to understand where the Scriptures come from. The reason I cannot do what I want to do with the Scriptures is because they are not mine to do with as I please. The Scriptures are from heaven. They are from God. The Bible tells us that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So we have three witnesses. The works, the witness of the Father, and the Scriptures. They're all from heaven. And friends, that's the credentials of Jesus Christ. And there is no one has ever been able to meet those credentials. Only the Son of God. Thank you. May God's blessings rest upon each one of you today. I only held you 5 minutes too long.
Amen. Appreciate that. We got ready to be in charge. You know how much time we got?
About 10 minutes.
10 minutes?